Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program is being recorded for Saturday, November the 12th, 2016. Very grateful to be with you. I really am. These programs seem to catch the ear of people, the subjects, and they're your subjects. It's the subjects you've asked me to speak on, and I'm very grateful for your participation. I really am. I hope that if you are listening to these programs that you will become a sponsor, because it is only through your sponsorship that people who have been so gracious and so kind to allow us to be on the air that I am able to be here and serve you in this manner. So if you are enjoying the radio programs, find merit in them, which I hope you do. They're your questions. So I'm hoping that you find the answers helpful to you, that you will become a sponsor and help us keep this radio program on the air along with our TV programs. And if you've been keeping up with the ebb and flow of our TV programs, you can go on the website at aspire.org and go and take a look at some of the programs I did in a series that we have named Signatures on the Water. These were programs done way back in the day, 1987. You can go back and take a look at some insights that I offered way back then. They're just as good today as they were then. And hopefully, they'll have a way to seep into your heart and help awaken you. All of this is there for you on the Aspire website at aspire.org to serve you, to be of help to you, to be of service to humankind. Let's get to the questions. These questions I've pulled out actually came to me in the last 15 days. They're about learning. And people think that they can learn this stuff, spiritual stuff, metaphysical stuff, Buddhist stuff. I am not a Buddhist. I am not an anyist. I don't do any of that. I'm not opposed to it. I'm just not any of those things. And I'm kind of between the cracks and crevices of it all. So I think people get very confused when they listen to me. Is he Buddhist? Is he this? Is he that? I'm none of that. So they ask me questions about my teachings, about learning, about understanding. So here we go into three very wonderful questions. The first one comes from Kyle, and he says he listens to us from Seattle, Washington. You say that we can learn what you teach. Then how do I get it? I can't seem to learn anything you're teaching. It seems difficult and confusing. Kyle. Well, first of all, Kyle, I want to thank you for listening to me. It must be very difficult to listen to someone who confuses you. Most people would just pass on by and not even bother to write. So I want to thank you, first of all, for being so kind as to do that. You really can't learn what I'm teaching here. You can listen to it. It can open up new doors for you. It can open up new dimensions for you. But actually, and in truth, you cannot learn it. This isn't something you come to learn A equals B equals C. It doesn't work like that. This inner work that I'm talking about is about a certain gestalt in you that has to happen. There has to be that deep and profound pull to love. You must want it with all of your heart. You must want it with all of your soul. You must want it with all of your strength. It must be everything to you. If your practice does not bring you to the everything that is the all here, then you're not going to find what I am offering to you of any real help or significance. You can't learn, for instance, about the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I did a wonderful series for you on it. And on the Eightfold Path, I mean, even Signatures on the Water is all about different Zen teachings. But you can understand the words and you can assign meaning to the words, but that doesn't mean you understand what you've assigned meaning to. You have to have that thing in you before it all happens. And what is that thing that I'm talking about? It is an inner pull. It isn't a longing. It isn't a desire. It isn't an ambition. It's an inner pull to do something magnificent with your life, to do something triumphant with your life. Instead of just going by circumstances and conditions and allowing them to dictate to you, oh, how happy you will be, what you will be, how you will live your life, you find an inner discipline, an inner calling that draws you to something that exists not in my words and not in my teachings, because I don't own these teachings. They're not my teachings. They're teachings. They're insights. They belong to the universe. They belong to the cosmos. They belong to this dimension that we're living in right now. So it isn't about my teachings and what I'm doing. And maybe that will help you. If you meditate, if you learn to open up your mind and free yourself from the confines of anger and fear and doubt and worry, if you can let go of the theories that you have about what you believe in and what you think of as being possible and impossible, right and wrong, good and bad, if you can let go of duality, you will find that what I am offering to you lives within you. You don't have to understand it. It isn't a teaching. It isn't something you have to memorize, understand through intellect. You will understand it through the measure of the heart. And the heart speaks at a different language in a different way at all times. And this is really difficult, I think, for a lot of people to understand. We live impulsively and compulsively via our genetics and our DNA. That's what we live by. We don't have that ebb and flow of love in us. We're not prone to love. We're only prone to the things that we want love to be. So we live our life according to the manner of our desires, our ambition, our pride, and we miss. We miss everything that is deeply significant and important. So try to understand me. Words are nothing more than intellectual efforts. I don't want you to understand my words. I want you to feel the spirit that is within them. And you can't force a person to understand that. You can't just lay it out there for them either, because it takes a unique person to be able to hear what you're listening to right now. And to be honest with you, most people can't listen to it and they can't hear what they're listening to because there's so much background noise in their heads about right and wrong, good and bad, duality, the things that they think they understand. We always compare things to other things. For instance, you're comparing right now, whether you know it or not, as you listen to this, Kyle, what I'm saying to you and maybe what other people have said to you, or what your mother and father taught you, or what your minister taught you, or what you heard in school or whatever. It's all in the background running around. And this is how we live our life. We live in the background of everything. And because we choose to live this way and as this way, we miss the ebb and flow of our life. Now, there's nothing I can do about that. All I can do is say to you, go a little deeper, go a little further. Test the inner waters of your being. How far can you go with love? Are you willing to let it all fall apart, the anger, the fear, the doubt, the worry, for the sake of reaching a place where love sustains you, where love heals you, blesses you, where love has a chance to do all things unto you? If you have that, that ability, that pull, that distinction in you, then you're going to do really well. You ask me, how do we get it? You already got it. You have to get that you got it. I love that kind of stuff. I do, because it's so true. People think that you have to attain to this. You don't. You've already got it. The attainment is simply accepting it. It is finding it beyond your emotionality. And that's always the big bugaboo, is emotionality. Kyle, I hope I helped you. I really do. I hope I helped somebody out there. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's hard for people to understand. Next one comes from Rebel, who lives in Florida. What good does your work and teachings do for the world if only a few people like yourself get it? Rebel, if one person gets it, the whole earth is changed. If one person starts on the path, and I never meet them, but they hear this message, they hear the way, and they recognize it for what it is, the whole earth has changed. Everything that is important will be happening. Everything that is significant will be happening. Everything that is of love will start to flow. All it takes is one person. It doesn't take a dozen. It doesn't take two dozen. It doesn't mean that there's a ton of people out there in the world that have to get this to make it significant to the world. The significance of these inner teachings, these precepts, concepts that I am offering to you here, if they change one person, if they awaken one person, if they nudge one person in this world, it is enough. It is absolutely enough. Because that one person matters. You matter. And if you get this, if you can understand this, then you've changed. And you will go to someone else and they will feel that beauty in you. You don't have to say a word about where you got this or what we're talking about here. My students are very cautious about telling anyone about what they're learning with me or what they've attained. The few that have, they're very cautious. They're afraid of what culture and society will say about them. My God, you're in a cult. The cult is the society, not me. The cult is the people that believe in hate and fear. That's the cult, not me. So when you start looking at the way of the heart, the way of love, and you think it's a matter of cult, then that tells you a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more about where we are in this world and what the heck we're doing in this world. It's really tragic. You ask me, what good does your work and teachings do if only a few people in the world get it? Those few people matter. And it is rare to find someone who is ready to let go of their genetic disposition and their ego. It is very rare. Look, what are gatherings for? Why do people, gather at a political rally or gather at church? Because everybody is trying to believe in something, okay? Everybody is trying to gather around hate, justified hate, and think that they're doing good in this world. I say they're not. I say that people that gather around hate, gather around fear for the sake of, what shall we say, being self-righteous, do nothing in this world to serve the world. And you can get people to gather around hate. You can get thousands and thousands of people to gather around hate. It's not an issue. It's not difficult. You can get thousands of people to go to a cause and fight and do terrible things to each other in war and in politics. For what? For what? For where we are now? For what has happened to us now? We are a nation that really, we're people who think that our freedom, we think we are free, we're not, who think our freedom is to do whatever we want to do. We never use our freedom for anything kind or loving, very rarely. And the people that do are considered fools or idiots or whatever. Who knows? I can't even go down that road. So the way I look at it, Rebel, is it is important to have one person. If I am talking to one person, if my 44 years of being a teacher gets to one person, just one, I will be grateful. I will be deeply honored. I don't know who that one person will be. And it's none of my business to know who that one person will be. It could be anyone. But if I get that one person and I am able to help that one person, it is enough. And that's the way we need to look at our lives. Just a suggestion. If you can be kind to one person at a time, if you can be thoroughly kind and diligent with one person at a time, if you can give and forgive one person at a time, you have done something magnificent with your life. You have done something very fruitful with your living, one person at a time. That's all you have to be. And if you take your day one moment at a time and you just do your very best, your most loving work, one moment at a time, you've done marvelous things. Who knows? Who knows? Those TV programs that you look at on Aspire.org were done one program at a time. There are many, many programs on there and many more to show up on the website. We haven't even got them all up. And if one of them served any one person in this world, it was enough. And that's the way I approached them then, and it's the way I approach them now. One person at a time. And I am grateful for that one person. I've never been the kind of person that wanted the masses. Never. I had large groups come to me when I was teaching formally. And it was kind of interesting at times, but for the most part, they were looky-loos, people who were insincere about everything. All they wanted is what to be entertained and to have what they want and get what they want, and thinking that maybe I had a solution to a problem they had or I could give them something they needed. And that's the way people look at things. They're very selfish and self-contained. So, Rebel, that's the good it does. You don't know who's out there, who's heard the message, who, through the message, through the presentation of my radio and TV and all the other things, commentaries, podcasts, video casts, all those things that I do, you don't know. I don't know. It's none of my business. My business is right here, right now, with you. And I've never met you, and I don't even know, quote unquote, who you are. But the fact that you took the time to write this email tells me something's brewing in you, something important is happening to you. And I am very grateful that I had the honor to answer your question. Your question was important. And to me, when I'm answering any of these questions, they are the only questions that are important. One question at a time. I hope that helped you. Thank you, Rebel. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Larry. He does not tell me where he lives. Humanity is very messy. Humanity is misery. Why do you work so hard to try to teach us when we can't hear you? When we really don't care? Larry. I get this question a lot, Larry. My ex-colleagues even ask me, why at this time in your life are you working so hard? This is the best time I've ever had in my life. It is one of the most beautiful periods of time in my living. Yes, humanity is a mess. I agree with you, Larry. It's a mess. It's terrible. It is not maturing. It is not growing. It barely functions. And when it does function, it functions on hate and fear and not love and kindness. I know. I know what you're saying. And I agree with you about it all. But I'm not after humanity. I'm after uniting us in the divinity. There are those who can hear this message and hear it dearly in their hearts. They can be reached. A person who can be reached is a very unique human being. They are not doing the humanity thing. They're very unique. They can be reached. They can be touched. It's an intimate thing that happens between myself and them on radio, on TV, in podcasts, in videocasts. There is that commonality, that essence, that beauty. It's all there. And it's extremely beautiful. It's extremely meaningful to me. And I am honored to do it. So your question about humanity and trying to help it, I'm not trying to change humanity. You can't do it. No one can. There's no laws. There's not enough of them to change humanity. Humanity is what humanity is, and humanity is about as far as it can go in its own evolution in an inward way. Because we don't go very far, so we don't do very much. So what will affect our inwardness will be technology. It will be all sorts of things that technology will bring into our life and into our world, into our perceptions. And then we will decide how that technology can be used. And for the most part, because we have no relationship with our authentic heart, we have no relationship with the authentic, we will probably use technology to hurt each other. It has to be so in this world. It isn't by design. It is by the way we live our life. It is by our willfulness, by our ignorance that we do all these things. What can I say? This is the way the world is. And it isn't going to change because Greg Penn wants it to, or you want it to. Gandhi said it best, and never forget it. The change we wish to see in the world, we must become. So if you want a change in this world, Larry, and you see humanity as a mess, then you must change it in your own way, in your own fashion. You must change it. I must change it. And maybe my little ways here and what I'm doing on Aspire is my way of changing it. I hope so, because it's my intent to be of service to humankind. I do everything I can to help. The question isn't about me. I have to be able to see my efforts. I don't look at my efforts with the idea that, you know, what good is it? I go to hospice. What good is it? The people that I help leave their bodies. The people that I help Their families think I'm nuts. I sit with their parents. I sit with their grandparents. I answer their questions. I stay close to them. I lend them as much spirit as I can. Is that a waste of time? Well, to some people, it seems so. But to me, it is very important. Larry, nothing is a waste in this world, and nothing, absolutely nothing, goes unrewarded. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I might be of service to you, you know what to do. Come to the website at aspire.org. aspire.org. You'll see media there. Pull it down. You'll see Satsang with Siraj. That be me, and that's what these radio programs are. And I hope that you will send me a question. I'd love to hear from you. Have a beautiful day. And please forgive me, eh? Huh? Namaste.